This evening, I wanted to read from the book of Judges, chapter 6. It's a story about Gideon. And if you have your Bibles open, or you could just follow along with me, it's up to you guys. I'm reading out of the New King NIV, the nearly inspired version. Let's see here. We go chapter 6, verse 11. And here we say, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the yoke of Ophrah that belonged to Josh, Zebed, or Isaac. And that was his son Gideon, was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord was with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders and our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go under the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but you, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Amen. Amen. While preparing for this mission trip that I'm going to take right now, this is my sixth time going back to Africa. By the way, pray for me. Church, pray for me. This is the first time I'm going to take my wife, Dominica, and my son, Peter, and my son, Isaac. The Lord placed it on my heart to take them there because they need to see why Dad was gone for 6 months. They need to see what God did there, what their sacrifice did. So keep them in your prayers all through December, through the New Year's when we come home. When you remember, pray for the Boros family. Amen? Amen. I need God's protection and his wisdom and his guidance. In getting ready for this mission, God placed a certain individual. I have a big group going, but there was one individual I really wanted to take because they're very near to my heart. And I called this individual and I was like, "Listen, sweetheart, you have to come with us." She's a family member. And I was like, "You got to come with us." And she kept telling me and responding to me, "I can't go. I don't feel up to it." She says, "How can I go? I'm not that strong. I can't go preach the gospel to anybody." And I kept trying to convince her and talking with her and trying to tell her it's going to be okay. Just come with us. And then the Lord placed this story on my heart about Gideon because it reminded me so much of what was happening in my conversation with her. And tonight's message is entitled "The Difference." And I think to myself, what's the difference, Lord, between me and somebody who thinks they're unprepared or unqualified to do the work? Because God, I don't think I'm qualified. And God, I look at Gideon in the Bible, and here you have an individual who is the least of his people, and his people are the least of all the other tribes. And God, I look at this guy in the Bible, and I see that the angel of the Lord appears to him, and he's in the most cowardice position possible. He's hiding. He's hiding, threshing his wheat inside of a wine press so that nobody would find him and steal what was his. And God, I see you, though. I see you in this, and you come to this man who on his own has no ability, has no talent, has no super capability to do anything, but God looks at this guy who's by all means cowarding and hiding, just trying to make enough to eat, and he says to him, "Gideon, you are my mighty warrior." Wow. God, what do you see in him? Gideon was the one who needed saving at that point. I was the one who needed saving when God called me. And somehow our God, who is capable and knows all things, doesn't just call us, but he calls us to do great things when we just need to be saved ourselves. Amen? He says, "Gideon, I'm calling you under the strength you have to save all your people." And Gideon's hiding and can't even save himself. He's sitting in there, and God says, "In your own strength." What strength did he have? I think to myself so often, what strength do I have? Like, I know me. I look at myself in the mirror. I know by my own merit, I have nothing to offer God. But somehow he still calls all of us in Lucrarea Lui. And that's what's so humbling about the whole thing. When I look at that video and I see what God created over there, it's like, God, how can you take such faltered people, such broken people, and do such a great work with them, Lord? I look at the things like, God, you take people who need saving, they can't even save themselves, and you place the ministry of reconciliation in our hands to save other people. It seems like it's something too great, amen? Some people say, and I hear it quoted all the time, that the Lord will never, ever give you more than you can handle. Have you guys ever heard that? Yeah. Don't worry, brother. God will never give you more than you could handle. You know what I found out in my years as a Christian? Do you know what I learned? That's not true. That's not true. It's not true at all. That's completely the opposite of the way God is. God calls you to do everything that's beyond your ability. God says, be a good husband, be a good Christian. I can't be a good Christian. He says, go build an orphanage. I don't even have money for a ticket. You want me to build an orphanage? What are you talking about? God says to Gideon, save your people. He's like, I can't even do my work outdoors because I'll be robbed. But look, there's a reason why God always calls us to do things that are greater than ourselves. You know why? That he may reveal himself to us, amen? Because this is how he reveals himself to us. Gideon looks at God and the Lord, and he says, but if the Lord is with us, why? Why? Why is everything in our lives so hard? Why every time we have a crop, every time we have animals, the Midianites come in like locusts. There's so many of them. You can't even count how many they are, God. God, if you're really with us, why is everything going so wrong in our land? Why is everything we have being ravaged? And he's polite about it. Oh, pardon me. Pardon me, but why? And sometimes we like to complain to the Lord about how hard things are in our lives, but I tell you what, that's how we know who God is. God takes us and he puts us through all these trials, and something happens and he starts forming something inside of us through all these trials. He goes and he lets things happen to us that are beyond us. He lets sickness come upon us. He lets us lose kids. He lets our kids go through NICUs for a month at a time when we have no control. He lets us go through bankruptcies and almost lose everything. He lets us go through almost losing our houses and losing our jobs. And he lets us going through church splits and arguments with leadership in church. And he lets us go through all kinds of persecutions and all these things. But there's a reason to it all. And I tell you, there can't be a hero without a villain, and there can't be a good without a bad. And there has to be a basis of comparison in life to see these two different things. I had to be picked as the least of my family, and so did Gideon. I'm the youngest of my family, and I didn't go to church my whole life until I became a Christian. I was the kid who only showed up during Easter and Christmas. I was the person, I had a plan, Frate Lagog, and this was it. As I was growing up, my mom would come home. My dad wasn't really a churchgoer, but my mom would come home, and she would talk about the gospel, and she would talk to my sisters, and I was little, and I remember overhearing it. And I remember the few times I would come to church, I would hear the gospel preached, and it was so hard to get to this place called heaven. I knew as a little kid, the enemy planted this in my mind. It's like, man, I'm the youngest of this family. My family is not even really anyone prominent. We're not preachers. We're not workers in the church. God, there's no way I'm ever going to get to heaven, God. And my whole plan was this, that the rapture would happen, I would get real Christian-like, and I would die a martyr. And this was my plan to get into heaven. I had no hope of getting in the rapture. I had no hope of being saved just through a relationship with my Lord and Savior. I literally thought that was going to be my cast and my lot in life, that I would have to die a martyr. And I was already in my mind, I was thinking, okay, year 2000, I'll be 20, I got to get right, and then that's it. I don't know how I'm going to die, starvation, stabbing, firing squad, but that's how it's going to happen. God had a different plan, amen? He said, hey, wake up, mighty warrior, man of valor. He says, I got a plan for you to save your people, to save some orphans in Kenya, to motivate a whole youth of a denomination to go into missions. And I didn't see it because I needed saving myself. Amen. That's how the Lord is. What's the difference between now and then? Amen. So the Lord came in, and I tell you what, it was like a whirlwind. I was 22 years old. I was married. I didn't grow up in church. I was full of rage. I went from a childhood where I didn't know the Lord, and I was angry at so many things that had happened to me because it wasn't my choice, but those things happened to me. And then I went into a youth that was just filled with drug and alcoholism. And then I thought when I was about 18, I know what I'll do. I'll get married, and it'll fix everything. And you know what? It didn't fix anything. I was 20 years old. I was a husband. And at 21, I was a father. And at 22 years old, I was sitting there and my life had gotten to complete ruins. I had a wife who was beautiful and loved and prayed for me all the time. But I'd come home night after night after night, so drunk I could barely make it into the door of my house. But God said, "Mighty warrior, I got a plan for you." Amen. What's the difference between this girl who was talking to me, Gideon, and what we see later on, the man who delivers his people? Something happens through all that hardship and all that pain and all those in Chirkut. What happens through that church? Something happens, and I see my God come through. And I see him come through, and I see him grab me out of all the sin and wickedness and the pain that I was in. And I see him plant me on a rock, and I see him completely wash away all the sin and all the shame. And I see him fill this old vessel that is just made of earth and clay with the blessed Holy Spirit. And he fills me with a gift and a calling, and he heals my life, and he heals my spirit, and he gives me a godly wife, and he gives me godly sons who serve and earnestly desire to be with him. And I say, God, I heard about you before, and God, I heard about you from when I was little, but God, now I see you. God, I know who you are now, God. God, you were the God of my mom before, and you were the God of those people I didn't really know at church, but now I know you. Now you're my God. I know who you are, and I know who I serve. Amen. Hallelujah. I know who I serve. And you know what started happening after that, Kalina? I started doing this. Every time I went before the Lord, I had already known him through personal experiences. And every time I saw a mountain, I knew, God, this mountain's huge. God, you're calling me to ministry. But God, look at my past. Look at me. I'm the least of this church. God, look at who I am. But he says, Peter, I got a call on your life to minister to youth and go on missions and spread my gospel to the very end of the earth. But God, what about me? He's like, go into the power that you have, Peter. Am I not the one who's sending you? And I tell you, well, thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. I don't want to mess up my beard. But now I see him. What's the difference between the Gideon that needed so much encouragement, and the Gideon that goes in and the enemy runs from him and he chases them down and he kills them one by one? What's the difference? What's the difference between the Gideon who's threshing wheat in a wine press and the Gideon that is chopping the heads off his enemy's kings? What's that difference? What was the difference? God spoke through him through all these things. He saw and he put God through the test through all of them. He puts the fleece out and it comes back wet. He puts the fleece out, it comes out dry. And continually, God is just showing Gideon who he is. Amen? And then if that wasn't enough, God says, go into the enemy's camp, Gideon, if you're still afraid, and see what's going on. And Gideon goes down to the enemy's camp, and God allows him to hear the enemy's soldiers talking about Gideon and his army, and about the dreams they had about Gideon coming and the sword of Gideon and them just being devastated. And God is so good with us that even though we're weak and even though we're so insecure and we keep looking insus on how weak I am on the inside, we look at ourselves. God is such a good and loving God through all these things that he takes us by the hand and he continually shows us how good he is and he reveals himself to us. And as though it wasn't enough for him to say, you are a mighty warrior, I'm going to deliver my people through you. Am I not sending you? He encourages them over and over and over again. And then Gideon does something. He says, I see you now. I see who you are. Now I know you're with me. And with that courage, he goes on, and there's literally nothing that this man can't do. God whittles down his armor so everybody knows that it's just by the Lord's hand that all these victories come to him. Amen? Amen. What a great story it is, honestly. And then we go on and we see that the Lord says, Gideon, am I not sending you? And here's another part of the sermon I really wanted to get into, because it's where we are as a church, I believe. This is where the Spirit of the Lord had placed on my heart. So many times we're like Gideon, and God places a call on our hearts to save, yet we are just the ones who need to be saved. And that's as far as our eyes can see, is just that, God, I need to be saved. And God's like, no, I'm going to save you, and then. But we're like, Lord, but I just need your help for me right now. And God's like, that's great, I'm good for that, but there's more to it. Amen? Look, so many of us get to that point where I was at, and I say, God, now I see you, I know who you are, and I trust you with everything. And you know what? Now when I pray, every single one of my prayers, you know how it ends? I know who you are. I know you. I know you. Every time he puts something on my heart and it seems too big, and I get scared, you know what? I say, God, I know you. Every time he calls me to speak, you know, I'm emotional, like, God, I can't do this, but I know you. I know you. You've always been there. Amen? God takes us through all these intricacies, and he brings us, and he brings Gideon to this point where he knows him, but there's a reason for it. Amen? There's a next step, church. Gideon needed saving. He was saved, but then there was the next. So often we just, we get saved, and we think that's the end of our run. We come to the Lord, and he heals us, and he restores our marriages, and he makes us into good fathers, and he gives us a ministry, and we think that's it. That's the full scope, right? No, God has so much more. He brings us to the point to know who he is for such a great reason. When I started going to Kenya, I went with a Russian guy. He was straight out of the rehab. He had a wife and kids. And he's now one of my closest friends. With this guy, I'll go anywhere. Hades, Japan, I don't care. Communist China. If I'm with this guy, we'll build anywhere, because we know who God is. I remember the first time he came on a mission with me 3 years ago. He was fresh out of rehab. Going to the mission was part of his rehab. And he had a wife and kids at home, but he was such a bad alcoholic and a drug addict that the state separated him from his family. And he was there for 3 months. And I was there with his brother, and we started that place from the temelie. We dug the foundation out of a cliff. And I remember working with him day and night, and I remember I got to see his transformation, you know? I got to see him go from this place where he was broken, and then God started healing him. And when you're there for weeks and weeks, and you don't have TV, and you have no internet, and you don't have electricity, and you just have a lamp at nighttime, you have time to speak to the Lord. And I remember every night I'd watch him go out Pukump, and he would just pray. And he'd pray in the Holy Spirit, and he'd pray, and he'd pray, and he'd pray. And he'd come in, and he'd talk to his wife. And then the second time it happened, and then the second trip would come and go, and then the third trip, and then I'd meet his family, and I see what happens in this man's life, and he's my age, and I see that God completely restores his whole marriage, and he's completely clean, and he's in the ministry, and now I see him and his wife are trying to have a baby. It's the sweetest thing. He's got a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're all serving the Lord together, and it's such a great thing. And every time I see this man, and I'm in the ministry with him, and I'm in the mission field with him, and everything's going sideways, he looks at me and he says, Boros, do you know what God I serve? Do you know what God I serve? And it's hard, and the locals are trying to extort us out of money, and the government wants to do things, or the container is coming from Mombasa, and our truck drivers get arrested. He looks at me and says, Boros, do you know what God I serve? And I look at the conviction in his voice and in his eyes and in his spirit, and I know God has completely set this man free, completely changed his whole life around. I get the opportunity to serve with men like Johnny Breach. This last time, 5 weeks ago, I was in Kenya, and we were bringing this container, and our drivers were arrested, and everything was going sideways. When you're in the mission field, just so you know, nothing goes correct. everything goes wrong. Every day I wake up and I realize, I know tot ce o să vrea să mi înșală și tot va merge rău. But I know this, I'm in God's plan and I know who He is, and at the end of the day, Domnul va rezolva pe toate. Pe toate, amin? And then this guy, Johnny, guy who leads our mission, all this is going on, and Johnny looks at me and he says, Mama Kim needs a car. Johnny, lasă-mă cu car. Car, you serious? We have a 64,000-pound container, it's overweight, coming over drumuri care, with a motorcycle, you could barely get around the holes, you know? And he's like, the Lord told me He's going to give us a car, Peter. Oh my God, okay, whatever, go do your thing. He puts it on Facebook, we needed $7,500 for a car for the orphanage. The same night, he walks into our room, and we're sitting in there, he says, guess what, man? And I said, what? He goes, somebody just messaged me, do you know who they are? I go, no, I have no idea. They want to buy our car. Like $100, $1,000? Nope, they want to pay for the whole thing. And I was like, man, He keeps encouraging us. Even when we don't deserve it, He keeps telling us how good He is and taking us through it. But church, there's a reason why He keeps showing us who He is. Amen? Because just like with Gideon, He takes the least of us, He brings us up to a point where He saves us, He fills us, He loves us, He reveals to us who He is because He has a plan. Amen? Amen. To all of you saints that went before me, care ați venit din România, amen? I listen to your stories și așa mă îmbărbătează. It encourages me so much să aud povestile from Romania. And cum ați ținut credința? And the things that you guys went through, it encouraged me so much. And to think that I stand on the shoulders of missionaries and people who were persecuted and people who ran the underground church. And I look at you guys, and I even look to my own dad. He went through prison and jail time just to bring us here. And așa luptă a fost, așa o bătaie. They fought so hard to get us to here. And I look at you guys out here, and I know that every single one of you got a great story on how you fasted, prayed, and the octa came, and how God blinded guards, and how you ran over borders, and how the Lord worked in every single one of your lives. And praise God for it, for He showed you who He is. Amen? Amen. While I was getting ready this morning, the Lord placed such a word on my heart for this. And you want to know what it is, and I'm going to say it as loving as I can. Who told you to stop fighting? Please receive that in love, because I'm giving it in love, and I was afraid to even say it. But don't stop fighting. Just because you got us here, atâta apreciez că taică-mă a fugit granița ani, a mers pe-n pușcărie și atâta apreciez că mi-a dus aici și mi-a dat un viitor într-o țară unde-s liber. You guys got here, continue to fight. Continue to fight, amen? What's retirement look like for a pocăit? What's it look like? Veșnicia în cer. That's it. God has brought you this far for a reason. You know why? To continue to pray for me, to continue to pray for our kids, to continue to fight, and to continue to fight, and to continue to fight, amen? To fight against the principalities of darkness, to fight against the sins of addiction, to fight against the enemy that's trying to break up our churches and cause division, to fight and to fight and to fight, and to work with one hammer in one hand and fight with a sword in the other hand, and that's what I'm going to do all the days of my life, amen? And that's what God has called Emmanuel to do. And that's what you guys have done. You've continually pushed the envelope forward and progressing the church. Amen? And that's what God is continually calling you forward to do. To continue to fight. Continue to fight. Continue to pray. Remember how you used to fight and how God was real then. He's still the same now. And just like you needed to fast and pray nonstop. And just like you had to pray so hard that the places shook where you were praying. And just like you had to pray and I hear stories of people levitating and floating around. Just like that, the need is still so strong, church. Continue to hold us up in prayer. Continue to correct me when I'm wrong. Continue to disciple and mentor me because I need your wisdom. Amen? And so do the young people of the church. Because God's plan is big and He's great with us. Amen? When I first started doing missions for the RTO 2 years ago, I was sitting with Eddie. And you know what my motivation was, Colleen? I told Eddie, man, I wish we were sitting on the side of my kid's soccer. He was playing soccer, and Eddie was visiting me. Poor Eddie Stringer is my best friend, by the way. He's my brother. I said, I wish there was a way that I could do missions full time. That's what I was thinking. That was scopul meu, viziunea mea. So I myself can do missions full time. We should start a missions department so you could fund me to go on missions full time. And I started praying before the Lord, and he kept making it bigger. God, I wish I could go on missions and do something great. And I did something great. And he's like, God, I wish I could expand my horizon and go in more places. I go to the Philippines. I go to Puerto Rico. I go to all these places. And God, I wish that I could do more for you, God. And God, I wish I could take people with me. And he expands and he says, Peter, you're going to start chaperoning groups of people. And the other night I was praying last week in my construction trailer. And I was like, God, where does this all end? Because now I'm organizing these trips. And God just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. God, what's next? He says, Peter, I'm going to light a fire for missions all over the United States and the Romanian American community. Amen. And you know what? It's terrifying. It's so scary. And I'm going to be honest with you, because what's the difference between me and Gideon from the beginning and this young girl who text messaged me? Is that the only difference between that scared person from the beginning and this scared grown man at 36 years old of today is that I know who God is. So what do? I just start making demands of him. God, I got to buy all these tickets. I got to organize people's flights from all over the United States to land within the same hour in Nairobi and rent a van from there and drive 6 hours into the postil across highways that were full of giraffes and rhinoceroses and the coolest things you've ever seen in your life. And there's robbers and there's perils and we have to get all the way there. God, there's so much I have to do. And to make things worse, I thought I was going to sell my house and I was going to have a buzunar plin de bani to do it with, you know? Because us as men, we think, God, you've helped me to hear, and now I got it. Oh, you want me to be a missionary? Okay, great. Stai acolo, I'll be a missionary. And God's like, no, you're going to need me the whole way. God, put some barriere. My house doesn't sell. And all of a sudden, I need all this mountain of money to go do his lucrare. And I was so scared. I remember going to sleep one night, Domini, I didn't even tell you. I said, there's no reason for both of us to be sick to our stomach. I was so scared. I wrote down everything that I needed from the Lord on my eraser board in my office. I said, God, I need all these tickets. These are the dates. This is the mission. I need this to live on. I need this and I need this. And I go home that night and I had peace because I prayed about it. But you know, convenia dracu seara. And there's no electronics. There's no nothing. And I'm sorry, my Romanian's crude. I'm from the parte de Romania, the New Jersey. That's where I come from, so it's very țărănește. I said, God, I'm so scared right now. And you know what he tells me? Jordan, he just says, don't you trust me, Peter? And I said, oh, I'm so stupid. Of course I trust you, Lord. And I have peace and I go to sleep. The next day, people start calling me all over the place. One of my stipulations with the Lord is I'm tired of begging. Because being a missionary, you have to go everywhere and beg for money. And it's the most humbling thing, and I hate to do it. And all of a sudden, people start calling me from everywhere. Hey, did you buy a ticket? Yeah, with my friend's credit card. Yes, I bought a ticket. He goes, the Lord told me to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. And then my church is like, did you already get tickets? Yeah, well, we want to give you a couple $1,000, a few $1,000. And God always makes a way, amen? He shows us who he is because he has a calling on us, amen? It's so much bigger than what we thought it's going to be. I thought I was going to be a missionary just going by myself, and God goes, no, I showed you who I am because I got a greater calling. And Emmanuel Church, listen, God saved you. He fixed you. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. He was with you when you fought to get over here. And guess what? Now there's a next chapter. Getting saved, getting freed from drugs and alcohol, getting healed from a broken past was just the beginning. Just the beginning. God has such a great plan for us. He's got such great ideas and ministries. And look what he's doing with the worship team here. You guys have a worship team that is one of the best. On the West Coast, if I was going to put a conferenza together, there's one team that's going to be on the top, and it's yours. It's your team, and I get to see these things. And God's growing us for a reason. Don't squander the fact that he's revealed himself to you. Because the only difference was from the Gideon before to the Gideon that goes and chases these armies down is he now knows who God is. And now you know who God is. Amen. I don't think anyone here needs to say the sinner's prayer. I believe you're all saved in this room. But know this, church, as I live and breathe, there's an other ministry for you. And even if you're the least in your household and your household is the least of all, trust me, just like me, God has a plan for you, amen? And may we have the faith, amen, to see him through all these things. And may we have the ear and the knowledge to know when he calls us, amen? Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for having me.